Welcome back to another Player Spotlight with Justin Anderson. Today on the show, we have joining us Isaac Trout. Today's podcast was brought to you by Multiverse Kitchens. It is a digital food hall that is home to 7 different restaurants and offers dishes that range from fried chicken sandwiches, wings, wraps, all-day brunch, and even homemade cookies. Located at the McIntyre Plaza, 1747 Allied Street, Charlottesville, Virginia. Also, you can visit them online at multiversekitchens.com. All the information will be in the description below. Here joined by a new commit, Isaac Trout. Isaac, what's going on, my man?
How are you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. You just had a great weekend coming out of Charlottesville. Got a chance to get on campus and be around not only your future teammates, but the incoming freshman class for next year. Talk a little bit about your official visit this weekend.
Yeah, it was great. It was a really good experience getting to hang out with Coach Bennett and the staff. And then, like you said, Leon and Isaac, players I'll be coming in with that are just really good dudes that I'm excited to surround myself with. And then just the rest of the team, they were all really good guys to us too. And it was fun to watch them practice and just kind of hang out with them outside of basketball. So I just feel really good about my decision, especially after this weekend.
I know when I came on my official visit and I got to watch the team practice, there was a part of me that was like, I can jump in that right now. Did you feel any type of anticipation or any type of jitters kind of in the gym, being around the guys and knowing that you're just so close to being able to jump in on that soon?
Yeah, no doubt. I just, especially watching all the skill development stuff, just kind of made me realize that Coach Bennett's definitely going to make me to a lot better player. And, you know, that stuff just excites me. I love to improve my game and everything. So just seeing those next level drills and watching those definitely got jitters to get in there.
I haven't got a chance to be around the team this year. Usually I'll take some time to get down there for the summer. Talk to me about our team this year. How are we going to look this year, in your opinion?
I think Virginia basketball is always going to be good. Just, Coach Bennett's the best. And I think this year they'll have like more traditional bigs, just like true fives. And then they have really good guard play with, you know, guys like Kihei, Reese Beekman, and then some new transfers that I didn't really get to see a whole lot, but I've heard good things about them too. So should be ACC contenders as always.
It sounds like you're fitting just in already. I think we all know that Coach Bennett's going to find a way to make it a successful season. We've seen that time and time again. So that's awesome that you got to be around basketball, but it's football season. Talk a little bit about Scott Stadium. What energy did you get from being in Scott Stadium, being on the field, being able to have that football, college football experience? Because it's been a while.
Yeah, I was shocked with the kind of the energy in Scott Stadium. Virginia is not really like a powerhouse football program like some of the other schools, but just seeing almost 50,000 people pack the stands for, you know, they didn't play a great opponent. That's why the score was kind of a blowout. But just seeing the passion that the fan base has for their sports there was really cool. And I'm a big fan of college towns, which is why I love Charlottesville so much. So it was a really fun experience.
When you go to those football games, the basketball players in particular get a lot of love because they've done some great things on campus. And I think Bronco Mendenhall is doing a terrific job with our football program. I think we're on our way to surprising a lot of people. What was that experience for you walking into Scott Stadium and recognizing you for the first time, especially on your official visit?
Yeah, it was definitely special. I had a bunch of people come up, ask me for pictures and everything. Cool. Shaking my hand, saying congrats on committing. And then people were chanting Isaac Squared stuff because I was walking around with Isaac McNeely. So just feeling that love and support from the fans was definitely special. And, kind of felt like a celebrity almost at that point because, I haven't done anything at Virginia, obviously, but just people knowing my name off Twitter and everything, I think was really cool.
This Isaac Squared concept is really cool. I think it's something that is very different and something that we haven't seen. Those guys are terrific basketball players, but also terrific players just like yourself, mature, can have a conversation. What are the conversations been looking like for you guys post everybody coming together to join as a big three, if you will?
Oh yeah, me, Isaac, and Leon talk all the time. Not really just about basketball, just like how life's going and everything. You know, typical Snapchatting. You know, typical friend stuff. So like, I feel like we've gotten really close, especially since that visit. Just being able to spend so much time together there and just kind of get a better feel for each other definitely helped out quite a bit.
Well, We'll dive more into those guys and what you think about recruitment and you guys being a top five class, which is really cool. But speaking of powerhouse football, you're an OU fan, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Why OU being from Nebraska?
Yeah. So I'm really close with my grandpa, and he's been an Oklahoma fan for a long time. So I just kind of grew up around him, and just I didn't really want to be a Nebraska fan, so I just wanted to pick a different team at a young age. So picked Oklahoma, and then they've been pretty good recently, except for last weekend.
If I had to guess, you're a big Baker Mayfield fan and probably a big Trey Young fan.
Yeah, 100%.
What about Bake? What is it about his game? Excuse me, stumbling on my words there. What is it about Bake that draws you a close, you know, as a fan?
Just the way he carries himself. Probably not the most humble guy ever, but he's never lacking confidence, which I like, and he's really easy to cheer for because he's always brings the intensity.
That's interesting that you say probably not the most humble guy, because all of the information that I've acquired over you for this interview in particular, that's the opposite of you. Very humble, very mature, very laid back. That small town mentality growing up in Grand Island, Nebraska, what is it like growing up in Grand Island?
It's not as bad as people would probably make it sound like. It's not like cornfields and cows and all that stuff. There's about 50,000 people here, and it's a good community, tight knit, very supportive of you know, sports and everything. And people have been great to me as well. So I'm really appreciative of that. And I've really enjoyed growing up here. Just kind of wish there was a little more stuff to do sometimes, but it's not terrible.
If I were to come and visit in Grand Island, what would be our itinerary? Three things. What would be on the list for us we must do coming out there?
First, we're going to go to my high school gym and work out. I think that'd be fun. And then get some food after that. We just got Chipotle, so I've been on that quite a bit. And then I like to golf and fish as well. So whatever you like between those two more, we can do that.
How often do you get out on the water and fish?
I usually like just fish off the banks and everything for fun for a little bit. I would say a couple times a month or so. And then same with golfing. I try to do it just to kind of clear my mind and everything.
Soon you have a teammate that I just interviewed, Leon Bond, and he talked about ice fishing. Have you heard of ice fishing?
I've heard of it, yeah, but I'm too scared to do that. I don't trust the ice that much.
So maybe we'll have to get Leon to come out on the bank, or maybe get you guys on a boat when you get to Charlottesville.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think there's any ice fishing in Charlottesville. We don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, facts. That's true. That's the truth. Right? You know, it's always good to be able to talk at least about some things that you guys have in common. So I thought that was pretty interesting that you like to fish, and he's into ice fishing as well, because when he said that, I did not expect that at all. He was talking about drilling a hole in the ice and you drop your bobber down in there. And the way he explained it, it sounded pretty easy, but I don't think I think I'm with you. I think I might have to stop at the dock. So
yeah.
What is your earliest memory of the game, Isaac? What is your earliest memory of playing basketball? Who put the rock in your hands? Let's take it back to before all of this craziness that's going on right now.
Definitely probably like the age of 4 or 5. Just I had a mini hoop in my old house in the basement, and just working on that all the time, just, you know, doing dunks and everything, you know, fun stuff like that. But then as I grew older, I really started to love the game more, and definitely my parents got me into it because they were both athletes, so they kind of just want me to try everything. And I just liked basketball really early on, so I just kind of took that up more than the others.
You mentioned your dad Brandon, your mom Christy, who have, you know, I thought was very interesting career paths. Talk a little bit about their influence on you and your sister Tia, who is playing volleyball now. Talk a little bit about their influence on you guys and how they've raised you guys in that town to be great young men and women.
Yeah, they're the best parents anybody could ask for, really. They're really hard on me, but, you know, still love me and support me through whatever. So I think there's a reason that me and Tia are good kids, and that's definitely because of how we were raised. But just having that support from them and how much, you know, they've put in all the time and effort for me to be where I'm at right now is really cool. So that's definitely motivation for me too to, you know, to hopefully give back to them at some point.
Moms play volleyball. Your sister plays volleyball. Mom's is now a physical therapist?
She works at physical therapy, yeah.
Okay. And your pops is a chiropractor. So
yeah,
that is awesome. That's got to be music to Coach Bennett's ears, because if anything happens when you're away from Charlottesville, you're well taken care of.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
What else did they put in front of you as a kid growing up? Did they put any other sports in front of you, or did you kind of gravitate to any other sports outside of basketball?
I tried football early on, but I wasn't very big, so I kind of stopped when they went to tackle. Didn't really want to get hit. And then I played baseball until about seventh grade, but didn't love that either. And then I did track in middle school too, but it was just pretty much I loved basketball the whole time.
I think it's important to do your due process, man. Everybody who thinks that you're supposed to just play one sport your entire life, it's very hard to be very successful at that one sport if you don't have any other mechanics in another sport. Did you find that to be true in your translation of figuring out what you love the most and kind of getting to where you are today?
Yeah, definitely. I think it helps having skills in other sports too, just so you can like get a feel for them when you're watching those types of games and the other sports. And then just kind of being more well-rounded, I think, is really important too. You don't really want to get burnt out just doing one thing every single day.
We're going to transition into high school basketball. And Nebraska basketball is not that big yet, but Isaac Trout's going to help put that and change that narrative on the map. You go to a school, Grand Island High School, population of about 3,000 plus students. What is the thing about Grand Island High School, that everyone needs to know?
We're definitely the most diverse high school in the state, I feel like. We just have so many different ethnicities and everything, so it's really cool. Just kind of hanging out with different types of people at all times, I think, is really important and will help set you up for life.
Academics is a big key in your household. You're an honor student. You make straight A's from what I'm hearing. Why is that so important to you?
Yeah, my parents definitely instilled that into me at a young age, but I'm a pretty smart kid, so school has typically come pretty easy, although the last couple of years taking harder classes has definitely been a challenge. But the ball's going to stop bouncing at some point, so definitely want something to rely on after that and hopefully get a good degree at Virginia and all that. So that's why school is important to me.
Being a humble person like you are, I mean, you can see that in your responses. But averaging 30 in high school is nothing to just let go. Your high school experience so far has been challenging in some ways, but at the same time, very successful. Your high school basketball experience and your teammates and your coaches, what do those guys mean to you going into your senior season? And what are you most looking for, looking forward to going into this year?
Yeah, they mean the world to me. There's a reason that I didn't take any prep school opportunities that I was offered. I wanted to stay in my hometown and finish it out and hopefully bring a state championship back here. It's been a while, but I've grown up with all these guys, and I was just way too close to them to leave early. So definitely that relationship with them and just the bond that we've created. And I think we're going to have a really good team this year, and I'm super close with my coach and the staff here too. So there's a lot of factors that played into me staying here, but I just love it here.
I got a chance to talk to Coach Brad Jacobson and Ryan Reeder, and they both had a lot of great things to say about you. And for you to bring up your teammates, a story that I wanted to ask you specifically about was the merging of two AAU programs, Lincoln Supreme and Team Factory. And Lincoln Supreme was the team that you were originally on, and you had to leave Lincoln Supreme because you, Team Factory and Lincoln Supreme, joined together to make Nebraska Supreme?
Yeah.
And so leaving Lincoln Supreme was bittersweet for you. Talk about why.
I think because about half that, so like half of our team from Lincoln Supreme turned to Nebraska Supreme. So I just kind of missed the other guys, the other half of my team, because I was super close with them too. You know, AAU events, you're always with your teammates and everything. But I think it was good for us because we got to meet new guys from Team Factory in Omaha and everything, and ended up having a really good summer. So I think it was definitely bittersweet, like you said, because, you know, like I said, I missed those guys, but playing on the Under Armour circuit and everything definitely helped our program get taken to new heights.
Coach Jacobson mentioned he challenged you. He said when he first got you at about 14 and under, you were just a really tall, skinny, lanky kid that can shoot the ball, but you worked hard. And he can recall giving you a challenge, because when you guys played in AAU, they started to kind of figure out your game a little bit. They knew you could shoot, so they will put a smaller guard on you to try to make you, you know, run you off the line, get to the rim. And so you weren't able to really adjust to that. But he said he challenged you on that. And the next summer after he challenged you, you came back able to rebound the ball better. You got stronger. You took the weight room more seriously. You finished around the rim a lot stronger, more efficiently. That goes to show, you know, what type of person you are as far as your work ethic. Do you remember going through that phase when Coach Jacobson challenged you with that?
Yeah, definitely. My 14-15 year, like he said, I was just tall and could shoot a little bit and couldn't really do much else. And then if I wanted to play at the highest level that I wanted to play at, I had to, you know, work really hard in the weight room. So between my sophomore and junior year, I put on about 30 pounds of muscle, which definitely helped defensively rebound and everything. And then just that mental toughness and everything incorporated to my game definitely helped. But I would say just working hard to improve every single aspect of my game, getting to the rim, finishing through contact, everything, like you said, that definitely all came full circle my 16 year, and hopefully can keep improving that.
Let's take a quick halftime break to mention that this podcast was brought to you by Multiverse Kitchens. They use nothing but local ingredients and have created recipes that are meant to travel. They offer eat-in, curbside pickup, and delivery so that everyone in your family can get what they love. Located at McIntyre Plaza at 1747 Allied Street, Charlottesville, Virginia. Also online at multiversekitchens.com. 57. 57 is the tied record for the most points in Nebraska school history. And you guys are in what division of Nebraska sports?
We're Class A. We're the biggest.
The highest. And so your name is at the top, tied with someone else. But there's actually some controversy behind that, I've heard. And it's something that I'm interested to hear a little bit about. So why not 58 to get a point over whoever it is that you're tied against? We won't even mention his name.
Yeah, so I was coming off a down screen, and I was about 2 feet behind the three-point line. And I pull up and make it, and they counted it as a two. So that should have been 58, but I missed like 5 free throws that game. So those are the things that bother me the most, because those should have been free.
So when you look back at that game, you beat yourself up more than anything.
Yeah, probably. It definitely wasn't my best game of the year, that's for sure. I just scored a lot.
That's incredible. Oh, wait, that's incredible. So you had 57. You tied the state record, and you said it definitely wasn't your best game. It could be better.
Yeah, I mean, I was – kind of efficient, but not super efficient. I think efficiency is like the kind of how you measure how you did offensively. I had a game towards the end of the year against Gretna in a district semifinal where I think I had 34 and about 12 shots. So that was efficient. I think that was probably my best game of the year.
That's incredible. And I think there was a stat that came out during the AAU season that last AAU season, you were, of all the AAU brands, you were in the top 20 in efficiency. So efficiency is a big deal to you. And that's something that you really pride your game off of, because you really value playing basketball the right way.
Yeah, definitely. And that's one of the reasons I picked Virginia too, is because they always play the right way. They're not just playing a bunch of ISO ball out there. And that's why I love Coach Jacobson and Coach Reeder with Nebraska Supreme and Lincoln Supreme, because they preach playing the right way and everything. So I think that's just kind of how I was raised. And I think playing the right way will always prevail over anything. So if you want to win games, you know, playing the right way is going to get it done.
Absolutely. Playing the right way, doing the right thing off the court is just as much important. Talk a little bit. Actually, you know what? Playing the right way and doing the right thing off the court is just as important. You have something similar in common with me with your ability to love on and to try to encourage and be a light for kids in the community. Why is that so important to you, Isaac?
I just remember being in those kids' shoes, looking up to the high schoolers. I was probably second, third grade, just looking up to the high schoolers here in Grand Island. And some of them were good to me and nice, but some of them were kind of standoffish and maybe a little too cool to talk to a younger kid or anything. So that's why I try to answer every single DM I get from kids and everything, try to sign every single autograph, take every picture, because You know, just I just know how much that meant to me when people were good to me when I was that age.
So in Charlottesville, when I was in college, I had an unbelievable opportunity to actually work a job during the summers. And the job was ACAC, a local rec and gym in Charlottesville. Owner Phil Wendell was someone who owned that gym. He's a big UVA fan. And he gave us an opportunity to come and work for the summer. And so he would put on these kids camps, and he gave us opportunities to be able to come and be around the kids, show them the game, and just being around those kids, like being a UVA player, they don't care about anything else in the world when you're out there on the court with them and you're showing them different moves and shooting three-pointers and picking them up the dunk. So I definitely understand your passion with the kids and understanding that, you know, we are what we want the future to be, right? We are the examples, yeah. We are the leaders, and we want to create that type of environment. So that's awesome that you've taken the time to not only dedicate to basketball and everything else that you have a passion and interest in, but it's really important that you continue to give back to the community. And that's something that is admirable on every level, whether you play basketball or not. Something that, you know, taking it a bit personal here, a story about you that I'm sure a lot of UVA fans don't know, is something that I'm just learning about right now, is actually that you're a type 1 diabetic.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know much about that. So maybe you can inform me and our listeners of what does that entail and how does that change things when you play basketball as a diabetic?
Yeah. So I was diagnosed when I was 4 and a half. So I think just definitely, that definitely made me more responsible at a younger age and helped me mature early. So I think it's kind of a blessing in disguise. I just have to like watch what I eat. Can't eat a whole lot of carbs. You know, can't just eat candy all day like some kids do, and all that stuff. And then I really have to monitor my blood sugar at all times. I have a continuous glucose monitor on my phone, which like tells me what my blood sugar is at all times. So just watching that and making sure it's not too high, not too low. It's kind of difficult with sports because, you know, you don't want to get low when you're playing, but you also don't want to get too high of a blood sugar. And then my parents do a really good job at nights, kind of helping me monitor that, which is why I'm excited to have a good roommate in college to, you know, potentially help me if anything goes wrong too.
That's incredible. I mean, it speaks a lot to your maturity, like you said. What message would you give to a young kid who's maybe experiencing the same thing, who wants to play any sport, not just basketball, but to any kid who may be going through the same thing? What message would you give them in this process?
Yeah, I would tell them that it's not going to be easy. Being type 1 diabetic is definitely more adversity than a lot of kids have to go through when playing sports. But, you know, anything's still possible as long as you work hard and stay responsible and stay true to who you are.
That's incredible. Now the fun stuff. Recruiting, man. I know it's a lot. And I know you're finally glad to have it over with. But your recruitment, talking to one of your coaches, and I heard your pops and Kale?
Yeah.
And Coach Jacobson, you guys are driving to Indy. I don't know if it was for a tournament or whatever the case may be, but he said he remember you four riding in a van or riding a vehicle up to Indy. And he said every hour, literally, you were getting three or four either phone calls or text messages on that drive. Talk about that experience in your recruiting process.
Yeah, the whole recruiting process was really cool and definitely a dream come true. Being able to talk to so many different high level coaches and schools, and yeah, that drive was kind of crazy because it was during a live period and everything. So people are just telling me that they're going to be there, support and all that. But I would say the last month of the recruiting process in August was super stressful for me because, you know, I kind of wanted to figure out where I was going. Quite a bit before my senior year. So I just had to pray about it a bunch and everything. And then finally came to the consensus that Virginia was the spot for me, but just, it was pretty hectic getting all those phone calls and everything. So I'm kind of glad that's done now.
Isaac never got off the phone and never got annoyed with the process. He never had anything negative to say about it. That was a quote from your coach. Now, I know I got annoyed with my process. And the reason why I feel like I got annoyed is just because it's so hard to make that type of decision. But it sounds like something that you lean on is your faith and your family. What does that do for you as far as your sanity and as far as the peace that you get over your life when going through that process?
Yeah, like I said earlier, my family's been so supportive and great to me. Just having them in my corner at all times definitely helps a bunch. But none of that stuff would be possible without my faith in Christ. Just being able to like read the Bible and everything, see what people go through. That's why I love Virginia so much, is because of the five pillars: humility, unity, passion, servanthood, thankfulness. You know those. But just how big Coach Bennett is on that and everything. I was going to struggle with going far away from home, but I feel like being with a guy like him and a staff like him that's so big on faith, faith-based, that I think I'll be all right.
Those pillars, man, they see you through. It's something that he builds into you. I don't know if people know this, but he put them in the floor underneath our gym in JPJ. Yeah, I mean, I probably shouldn't have spilled the tea. Coach, if you hear this, forgive me. but those pillars, man, they've stuck with all of us through the course of our lives. And the amount of times that I've talked to guys post-basketball, we bring up pillars in order to encourage each other to get through things. Which pillar do you feel so far that you identify with the most? And this may change over your college course, but I'm sure Coach Bennett just freshly gave you a breakdown of which each of them mean. Which one do you identify with the most?
Definitely humility. I think that's, they're all super important, but I think that if you're a humble person that, good things will come your way and you always have a good outlook on life. So I'd say humility is the most important to me and the one I probably most resemble right now.
I think we share that one in common. Coach Bennett would always say, know who you are. He talks about Jesus being a foot washer. He talks about also Jesus not being a pushover. You have to have that fire and that furnace inside of your belly that you just, he gets really intense when he's talking about that one in particular. And that was the one that stuck out to me the most, because as basketball players, a lot of times people look at us as being very egotistical or being cocky just because we happen to be good at our sport. So it kind of makes us want to say, no, I'm not cocky, and have to explain ourselves. But when you talk about true humility, it's actually about knowing who you are. It's knowing how good you are or knowing what you need to work on. So that's cool that's the one that you relate to the most, because I think we definitely share that in common.
Yeah.
Taking it back to high school again, really quick. You guys, because of COVID, were not able to play in like the live period for AAU coaches. So for some of your teammates, it may have been a little bit tough to get recruited, but the following month in July, UVA really separated themselves, and so did the other teams in your top five, but we're not going to worry about them right now. But UVA really separated themselves by coming to literally every game in the month of July. That had to make you feel good. That had to make you feel wanted. Talk about that. What was that experience like, seeing them showing up time and time again for literally every game?
Yeah. They had always been telling me that I was their top priority. And I definitely felt that throughout that process. But when I saw them at every single game, literally in July, that kind of just hit hard that, that I truly am their top target and that they truly want me. So having that, just being wanted that much by a school like that, definitely played a factor in my decision. So Coach Bennett wasn't at every single game, but he was probably at 70%. And then they had an assistant at all the other ones. So that really meant a lot.
We got to talk about that July. I mean, because that was probably the most dense moment for you to put on a showcase in front of, Coach Bennett, Coach, Izzo, Coach Davis at North Carolina. I mean, you were seeing some of the best of the best filling these gyms up. It started with Atlanta, then it went to Dallas, and then it went to Indy. Now, Dallas and Indy, we don't have to talk about as much, but Atlanta was special for you. Because you had some flight difficulties getting in there. Do you remember that flight?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'll never forget that. So the team from Omaha, the AAU team from Omaha, was supposed to go to Birmingham, and they were on our flight to Atlanta. And somehow they got it switched to go to Birmingham, which was ridiculous. So then we get there, and then the flight like has problems, so it takes another hour. So we end up getting to our hotel in Atlanta at like 3:30. And we played at like 11 the next day. So I don't know how you are about sleep, but I need my sleep if I want to perform. So I was a little stressed.
Did you end up having a good performance that night or that day? I should say that morning.
Yeah. I probably had my best game of the weekend. Just I think the energy with all the coaches in the gym and everything, that being my first time to play in front of everybody, I kind of forgot about all the sleep stuff and just played.
When you talk about energy, that tournament in particular was a little bit unique because the coaches were almost breathing down your back, apparently, according to Coach Redder. Coach Reeder. The coaches were literally in the bleachers right behind you guys in your huddle almost. That had to be pressure, no?
Yeah, definitely. You know, you want to make a good impression on everybody when they see you play for the first time in person. So I think there's, you know, you don't need to change how you act and all that, but just making sure that, you know, you're a good teammate and all that stuff as you always should be. There's definitely a little pressure, but mostly in the play.
So we talked a lot about who you are and what you stand for. Let's talk about your game. We live in an era where everyone wants to be compared. Everyone wants to compare a player to another player. I mean, I think it's ridiculous going on Twitter and we're trying to figure out who's better between Steph Curry and Kyrie Irving. And we're almost doing start bench cut with Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, and Damian Lillard. It's like, dude, they're all great point guards. Why don't we just appreciate what we have and what we're seeing right now? Because there's no era that we've seen that at that point guard position in one league in one season. So let's talk about your game. I don't care about the comparisons, who people think you are, who people think you're going to be. What are you excited to put on showcase?
Definitely my ability to stretch the floor and score on all three levels. And I think my basketball IQ is probably the biggest strength of mine in my game. So just being able to display those my senior year and then at the college level, I think we'll get people excited. Like I said, I play the right way and have fun doing it. So when somebody's passionate about the game and have some skill, then they can be a pretty good player.
You knew you needed to get stronger. You knew that you didn't no longer wanted to be the tall, skinny kid as described before. A goal of yours was to reach out to Coach Curtis and talk to him about what can you be doing to get ready for UVA. How was that conversation if you've already gotten a chance to have it?
Yeah, so I had that with him on my visit, just asking him if I could get started on a workout plan this week. And, there's three workouts a week, and they're tough. They take about an hour and a half. The warm-up and all that stuff takes about 40 minutes just to get mobile and everything. So it's definitely a grind. But I've done two of them this week and one more tomorrow, and it's been tough, but definitely worth it.
Who are some of the guys that you're looking forward to playing with at UVA, man?
Really all of them, but definitely the two guys in my class. And then I'm not sure like who's coming back with their COVID year and everything, but I know like Reese Beekman will be there. Igor Tane Murray, all those types of guys will be there. So just definitely everybody, just because everybody's a good person and obviously a good player too.
When you look at tradition, there are guys who came before you. There are guys who came before me. There's always people who come before us, who set the stone in the foundation. And coming in for me, it was guys like Ralph Sampson and guys like Mike Scott, guys like Sean Singletary. When you look at UVA tradition, who are some guys that you have a tremendous amount of respect for the foundation that they laid before you and something that you're kind of chasing, you're chasing after?
Yeah, definitely. They had compared me a little bit, just play style wise, to DeAndre Hunter and Sam Hauser. It's kind of because I played that, you know, 3/4 position. So I think if I could be a combination of those guys with how I play there, I think that I could be successful.
Okay, I just got you back. We got to talk kicks for a second. I hear that you are heavy into Jordans. You love Jordans.
Yeah.
What are your favorite pair of J's?
Probably Concord 11s. I have a pair of those. I got them last year, and those are my favorite. I think they're pretty sweet.
Are you excited to get away from the Under Armour, the Under Armour sponsor for a second, and jump into a nice pair of Nikes every night?
Yeah, for sure. I don't really have anything against Under Armour. It's just like I think that Nike basketball shoes fit me better, and I just like wearing them more. So I'm excited to get back to that.
I'm sure they love to hear that themselves. Are you a Jordan? Do you play in Jordans, or do you like to just walk around in them?
Just casual for me. I like Kyrie's, and just mainly Kyrie's for basketball.
I got to talk about a couple of more moments before I let you go. So everyone's screaming Isaac Squared. the unicorn. Where did that nickname come from?
That's mine.
Yeah. Have you heard that from anybody?
No, I haven't heard that yet.
So Coach Reeder calls you the unicorn because he said he hasn't seen anything like you in your approach to the game. He said you eat, sleep, and drink basketball, and all you do is play basketball, fish, lift weights, and do it all over again the next day. He said he's never seen somebody so dedicated to their craft like you are. So he said he calls you the unicorn. Do you think that'd be another name that sticks on, or is Isaac Square just too far ahead in the race?
I mean, it could be either. That's pretty cool that he said that. I haven't really been like called that before, but like I said, that's pretty cool. But just whatever works. I don't really care what people call me as long as it's not like bashful or whatever.
Right. Absolutely. The last thing I want to ask you, man, has nothing to do with you being a part of the finishing product, the end product. That actually has something to do with someone else. And it speaks to your humility, as you mentioned, is your favorite pillar of the five. It was a moment where there was a game winner on the line, and you were taking a ball out this past season in AAU, and a teammate of yours ended up hitting the game winner, and you were just as happy for him as you've ever been for yourself in any type of moment like that. You guys rallied around your teammate. Talk about that moment.
That was really cool. We were playing Team Thrill, really good team, and it was a great game. So I was just excited to win, obviously, and excited for him. But I typically don't cheer for myself. I don't like doing that. Just want to keep a level head and everything. But I'll cheer really hard for other people too. I like to see other people succeed.
Take me through that play.
Okay, so my teammate that took it out, he threw like a full court football pass to Jason, the teammate that caught it, and he had a guy perfectly sealed and everything. Like there was like that much of a window to throw a perfect pass, and it was right there. Then he just turned around and laid it in. It actually probably wasn't the best defense for that play. It would have been probably better to stay behind him and make him shoot a jumper, but you know, that's whatever, we won. But it was just like probably the best pass I've ever seen and seen live.
So we no longer have to celebrate the Christian Laettner pass. We could just go to the Nebraska Supreme play against Team Thrill, game winner, full court pass for a layup. We can now start to celebrate that.
I think so. Yep.
All right, good. Because as long as we don't have to keep hearing about Duke, we're good, man. Well, it's great interviewing you, man. It's always go Hoos, and make sure you take care of Tech whenever you see him. Thanks for coming on. We appreciate you taking the time. We look forward to having you on campus, man. We're so excited. As you've seen the energy in Scott Stadium, the energy is the same amongst your peers and the guys who've come before you. Keep representing us well. Thank you so much for taking the time to come and do this with me.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you to Multiverse Kitchens for sponsoring this podcast. Located at McIntyre Plaza at 1747 Ally Street, Charlottesville, Virginia, and online at multiversekitchens.com. All the information will be in the description below. And that'll be it. Another episode of Locker Room Access Podcast, Player Spotlight with Isaac Trout.